Hello and welcome to Loving Yourself Completely. I have been putting off recording this episode for about 2 hours because I've been waiting for this important phone call, and I know as soon as I get deep into this conversation, my phone's gonna ring, I'm gonna have to pause, and then I'm gonna lose my train of thought and it's gonna irritate me. I like to get these episodes done in one hit, and sometimes I have to take breaks or a couple days breaks, and it irritates me because it changes my tone and my attitude. Anyways, I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. My weekend went really well. It was great temperatures out and the sun was out. We've been getting our property ready for fall, winter. And now that fall is here, taking down our garden and getting our garage and our barns cleaned up, we store stuff for people in our barn for the winter, campers or boats or whatever, vehicles. And we have to get that prepared, get all our shit back out of the way that we dragged out in the summertime, getting our pool taken down and, you know, doing the fall stuff, doing our pumpkins and, you know, just having that family time, having more fires and bonding. And even when we're, you know, getting our property ready for winter and getting things put away, like watching my family work together so seamlessly just shows, you know, just how well communication comes along the way. After 10 years of being together, you know, you kind of look and you think to yourself, if you really dig deep, you go, wow, communication has come so far and we've done so much and put in the effort and the work. And it doesn't feel like work when it's with the right person. It feels like this is exciting. I'm getting to know you better and more. And I think we both feel that way. We both get excited when we have conversations that we've never had before. And it can be awkward and it can be uncomfortable. And it can be one of those things where you go, oh, I'm never going to live this down because I just told you something I haven't told anybody, or you get nervous or whatever. And that fear, it dwindles with time, you know, the longer you've been together and the more honest you are and the more open you are. I don't think there's one thing that would be scared to tell my husband about. So I think that's a really great feeling to know that when they say, you know, your spouse is your best friend, like that's really what it should be. It should be an exciting want to tell that person all the things. You want to tell them all the things and you're excited and after a long day and you want to tell them what happened in your day and what's exciting to you and or what wasn't exciting to you. You know, just imagine a world where relationships are perfect and, you know, your body is your dream. Mental illness doesn't exist and little fairies come and cook and clean every day. Pretty much imagine living a life you didn't have to work at and you could enjoy all the things, but you would appreciate nothing that you've overcome. You know, so many struggles. How boring and lazy would you become? I hope to never live in a world or a life that self-care is taken for granted or marriages aren't being improved and challenged to grow. And my home doesn't reflect my emotions some days. I want to care for my body on the hard days, you know, as well as the easy ones. And I want to make time for the things I enjoy because I earned that right. So many of us keep waiting for, you know, day to day or week to week for life to become easier, less complicated, more comfortable, but don't truly appreciate the journey of realistic living, which includes all the messy, crazy, exhausting parts of it, the hard conversations. And at the end of the day, the whole process is just about learning to thrive in that chaos. Love and self-worth. What our attitudes add or take away from our relationships, and self-love, that, you know, all that goes hand in hand with each other. Appreciating just life, you know, and that's today's episode. It's, you know, questions and about relationship styles. And sometimes our answers are directly in front of us, but we just need somebody to shift us and refocus us to really see it more clear. It's a little fuzzy, a little blurry. You think you know what it says, but maybe some words are a little mixed up. Relationships are hard in the absolute best way if you're in the right one. Growing together as a team, ups and downs become your strength in your love stories to tell for years to come about what you've overcome. Stop avoiding the conversation that it takes to make that. the tough conversations make the relationship, make it to the 20 years, make it to the 30 years, make it to the lifeline you want to leave behind of your love story. And, you know, when I hear people talk about people that have been married 50, 60 years, oh, it started out this way and this way, and oh, they went through this and this, and oh, I would hear them go through this, but they always held hands in the car, or they always watched their favorite show together. Those small things are the big things that are left behind. So stop avoiding the steps it takes to accomplish that kind of love. It's so important to put your love ahead of everything. You have to do that. You have to, I will say it a million times, because this is one of the biggest things I believe exists in marriage, is not having your pride, not being worried about your pride, of constantly overcoming it and going, I have to drop my pride. I have to have this conversation. I have to be honest. I have to apologize. I have to address this topic. And you can't be selfish in your relationship. You're not allowed to be selfish. You can be selfish in healthy ways, but not in the toxic ways, not in the ways of, you know, being just lack of respect is what the toxic, selfish ways are. Disrespecting your partner is never an okay move. And I feel like a lot of times people confuse the two. Oh, well, I got to take care of myself too. You can do so respectfully. There is a respect in that, you know? So I'm going to go ahead and dive into today's questions. Now, I know how off topic I can get, so I'm not sure how many we're going to get through today. There is a new link I think I'm going to add to my episodes, which will be questions that I can ask you for your answers, which I want to start maybe trying, which I think is a wonderful new add to this. So when you send in your questions, it will be on Spotify where you answer. They are all anonymous. Do not feel nervous and just answer the question that will be asked. I hope you guys love it. I'm really excited to try it. So, have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications for Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Okay, and of course, what did I say was going to happen? I was waiting for an important phone call, and I knew it was going to come at the wrong time, and it cut me off right in the middle of my topic that I was talking about, so I had to erase it, and we're going to start over. Okay, so I am going to do some questions. We'll see how many we get through. You know me, I go off on my tangent, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Our first question is from Catherine. My boyfriend and I have been together for 4 months and have been seriously talking about moving in together. He knows I have pretty severe anxiety and panic attacks, but he's never witnessed me being in one. I don't want to scare him away. He tells me he can handle it, but the breakdown that comes with mine is a lot. What can I do? Okay, Catherine, so here we are. Open, raw communication. This is our, you know, practice time, practice test of what it is going to be like to live with somebody. The hard conversations, the scariness, him or you witnessing things about one another that are not always going to be sunshine, getting through those things, open communication about those things, losing the pride, losing the selfishness, and really tackling things that make you uncomfortable. So even if you gave him step by step, detail by detail of what your panic attacks or anxiety attacks look like, if you say they're severe, which I've had severe ones before, seeing that, you know, happening to somebody you love, and it sounds to me like he may be not experienced in anxiety attacks or panic attacks, seeing somebody you love go through that is going to be scary. He's going to have questions. He's going to maybe get nervous or pull back a little bit, not in a mean way, but maybe just, okay, I need to reevaluate and see more of what I can do to help. If he's the right person, he'll feel this way, of course. So give him step by step of what those can look like to you, what can trigger those things to you, what he can do to help, even in the moments of what he can do to help. You know, example is when I go through mine, if I have, anxiety. So my anxiety attacks and my panic attacks, of course, are different. One is a buildup that you feel happening over time, which actually is crazy because I hadn't had one of those panic attacks in a long time, you know, the buildup that you feel coming. And it was crazy because I got one the other night. It was very strange to me. I haven't had one in years. It woke me up. I woke up out of my sleep in the middle of the night and I felt it. And I was like, okay, what's going on? Let's address it. Let's ask the questions. And I did all my normal steps. But you know that feeling you get. My husband, you know, he heard on a podcast. It was funny, a different mental health podcast. They were talking about the feeling of anxiety or panic or whatnot is the same feeling you get when you're excited, but you have it in like a negative way, which is strange. But I was thinking about that while I felt it. I'm like, it does. It feels like I'm about to get on a roller coaster, you know? And I had this and my husband's sleeping and I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, we're going to sit up. We're just going to sit up in bed. And nothing was going on with me emotionally. I was just kind of going through it. But anyway, so my husband woke up. He's like, what's going on? And I expressed it to him. I said, I don't know. I kind of woke up with this building of panic. And this had been going on for like 3-4 hours. And I was turned on a movie on my phone, plugged in my headphones. And, you know, he'll always ask me anything I can do or whatever. And he'll like, and I like when he rubs my back or rubs my hair. And that calms me. That brings me back down. Or sometimes I'll just like rub his arm and it'll bring me back down to where I need to be in this moment, in this place. So that's what I enjoy during my, not enjoy, I don't think anybody enjoys anxiety. But when I am having an attack of any kind, I like human contact, not overwhelming human contact. There's a big difference. I don't need somebody hugging me or, constricting my body. I don't like that. I just need maybe your hand on my leg or rubbing my hair. Those work for me. So what works for you? Tell him what works for you. Tell him, you know, whether it's make me a warm cup of tea or go outside with me or maybe just go away from me. Who knows? Like, I don't know what helps you in your attack mode, but tell him these things. You could even be so sweet and cute and you could write a list. You could tell him all these things in a letter, and that way when it's going on, so he doesn't overwhelm you with questions, he can read these things and he can know. That is being open and raw and losing all the, you know, pride from yourself and being in a relationship. And if you're to the point where you want to live with this person, you do see it going for the long run. So getting these things open and honest now is the most successful way to remain together and have a wonderful form of communication in your relationship. I think that's the most important thing. So being open and honest, and really don't be scared to tell him these things. And don't be scared for him to see you go through this. This is something a lot of people go through. And if he is the person you think he is, he will not judge you. He will not leave you. And this will not push him away or scare him. Don't be afraid of what you go through scaring somebody else. This is your life. If it should scare anybody, it should be you, right? So take control of that and take pride in the fact that you are taking the steps to make your relationships as successful as it can be. Being honest. So thank you so much for writing in, Catherine. Please let me know how it goes. All right, next. Okay. My wife and I have both been through our fair share of ups and downs these past 11 years. She has been battling depression back and forth since our daughter was born 6 years ago, and I struggle with it as well. Our intimacy, or lack of, has really affected our marriage. Life hasn't been the kindest financial-wise for a while, and we are both going through the motions. I can feel my wave of depression coming, and I just want our love to be back to where it was before life got in the way. How can I hit the reset button and try again with her? James. Well, James, okay, so I'm loving getting these names. I just feel like... this is just, I like addressing you guys by names, even if they're not your real ones. Okay, James, here we are. So first off, I'm so sorry that you guys are in this motion of just a circle of going through it. And also sorry that you guys are dealing with some pretty intense emotions. Depression is not the kindest and can really put a damper on so many things. Life, love, sex, everything, parenting. It literally affects everything. Anything you once enjoyed, you can't find the joy in it anymore. And that is the worst part of it, is trying to find any amount of joy, whether it's forced or faked, you know, faked and forcing yourself to do it, to try to find any kind of excitement or love or happiness like you had before that you know exists, but you're just not feeling in the moment. So first, I want to hope you're taking active measures to get through this. And I hope she is as well. I hope, whether it's, you know, exercise and self-care or medication, therapy, any of those things, please get ahead of your mental health. And I hope you're really working on making sure that you know depression doesn't define you and it doesn't define your life. And there is happiness out there. Please know that. Okay, so back to marriage. Your marriage was a healthy, happy marriage. It sounds like, you know, before life got in the way. And isn't that the case for everyone, you know? I feel like I always said to myself, if we were just in a bubble on our own, and life and money and kids and school and jobs and all these things were just out of the picture, how happy would you be? But that's not the reality, right? The reality is love existing in those things and finding your way back to the your partner in the chaos of life. That is love. That's what that is. If it was just the two of you, how simple, how boring, and how quickly that fire would fade. It's finding your way back to that person through the darkness. It's seeing them at the end of the tunnel and going, I want to make it back to them because their arms are where I feel the safest. So getting back to that intimacy and things like that. Now, I hope, again, outside of depression, sex, I hope I can give you great information. Inside of depression, that definitely puts a halt to wanting to have sex. Like, you have no desire to have sex when you're in depression. So first you have to tackle that. Now, if you are to tackle the depression and you guys are, you know, going on the mends and you are maintaining and keeping in control of your mental health, let's push those aside real quick and go back to, you want your love to be back to where it was, and how can you hit the reset button and all these things. I always say, you know, you should treat your partner the way you treated them in the beginning, with the same amount of love. If you can't treat them with the same amount of love you had in the beginning, why are we still there? And what can we work on to get back to there if that's where you want to be, which it sounds like it is where you want to be. Get back to that stuff. What are the things you did in the beginning? Did you guys go on date nights a lot? Did you go out dancing? Did you, you know, do movie nights? Did you cook together? All those things can become almost blended in to everyday life. Oh, obviously we have to cook. Oh, obviously we're going to watch a movie. It's Friday night. We're not doing anything. Oh, obviously, like, but it's not obvious. It doesn't have to be obvious. It can be, let's do a movie night together. I seen this movie earlier in the week and I saved it for us to watch together. Or let's go out to dinner. We're going to make this a phone-free time. We're going to take the kids to a sitter. We're going to take the kids with. And when we come home and put the kids to bed, we're going to continue this date night in our room and watch a movie. And not, again, still no phones and still no talking about kids. Like, we're going to continue to talk about things and do the favorite things. It's funny because a couple weeks ago, even my husband and I, We had a parent-teacher conference, okay? And it was a late night one. It was dark when we left there. It was like 7 o'clock. My dad was watching my son. And when we left and we were driving around for a little bit, we were laughing and giggling just like kids and things like that. And so we said, for our next date time, we wanted to do just like driving around. We used to love just driving around. Now, when we got together when we were younger, we did more than just drive around. Some illegal activities, but it was still like, it was so much fun and it brought back so much joy when we were doing this so we decided to do it for a date night, right? So we're driving around and we went all these random places. We went to where he went to elementary school, where I went to elementary school, and we were just talking, and where we first lived together, where my childhood home was, where, you know, all this stuff. We're cruising around, and we kind of went silent for a second, and he goes, okay, so let's re-ask the questions that you ask in the beginning. What has changed? Because I'm guessing, you know, your favorite band from 10 years ago maybe isn't your favorite band now. What's your new favorite band? What's your new favorite podcast you like to listen to? Do you have, like, when we first got together, his favorite color was red. Is it still red? Like, it's those things that you think you know about your partner just because you asked them 20 years ago. Re-ask those questions and find the excitement. Like, we were cracking up laughing just driving around because so many of our answers had changed and so many things we didn't have an answer for, and we were trying to discover them together and trying to find that love again. Isn't the hardest thing you will do, the hardest thing you will do while trying to find that love is trying to realize that maybe you don't know your partner the way you thought you did before. Because people do change, and that's okay. And that shouldn't be the hardest part in a negative way. It should be a hard part as this is now my challenge to relearn about my partner. And that should be exciting. So get to know her again. And literally, like you said, hitting that reset button is a literal thing that you need to do. You need to act like you don't know her anymore, because 11 years is a long time. And I bet her favorite color isn't glitter sparkly pink anymore like it was when you were younger. Okay, so you can get through this. Mental health and then regaining your relationship, those are together and are also separate. So you need to tackle one first before the other, of course, but also tackling them together is very important. Keeping that love and knowing that you support each other while you're going through this mental illness or trying to get back to where it needs to be, whether, like I said, medication or, you know, journaling, the gratitude, the whatever it takes to get you back on track, but just knowing that your partner supports you is what's needed. And then you can get back to life. And I really hope, you know, like when you're saying a depression wave coming back, I don't know if that's just, you know, what's going on in your life or if it's tied to your relationship, but either one, you can overcome. I promise you can overcome them. And don't ever let depression talk to you in a way of this is finalized, okay? So get back to me, and thank you so much for writing in. I think so much of the time, before we read another, I think so much of the time we get so caught up in what's around us in life. What's around us? Work is around us. Parent-teacher conferences are around us. Family is around us. Sicknesses are around us. Financial issues can be around us. Anything pops up in your relationship and you go, okay, this puts, you know, this is between us. And now another thing's between us. And now another thing's between us. And at some point you go, hey, roommate, how are you doing way over there? You know? And you go, no, you need to pull them back in. This is your partner when things come around. They're in front of you. These obstacles, and they're not between you. That's the most important thing. These things are in front of you. We have to get over this financial hurdle. We have to get over this school issue. We have to get over this family issue. And you guys are both jumping together, but it's never between you. Okay? Never let these things wedge between you. These are hurdles you are tackling in front of you together. Just try to picture that always. Okay? All right. Can you give tips on mentally stimulating activities that we can do to improve our mental well-being with ourselves and family that do not include phones or TVs? Okay. Trying to be aware of my surroundings, as you said, and those things prove a lot of negativity that I can't always get away from. Just wanting to stay busy, but also aware. Thank you, Brian. Brian. I like that name. I have an uncle named Brian. And he's crazy. I'm just kidding. Okay. So I do love this. This is one of my favorite questions, to be honest, because it's almost like it's something that everybody can relate to. What did we do before phones and TVs? Like, it's wild to me, because even me, like, these things came out like right in the gist of me growing up. You know, I got my first cell phone when I was 15, and it was like a prepaid with minutes. And I remember, you know, don't call me till after 9. And oh, I, you know, that text message cost me 25 cents. Are you kidding me? You know, texting off of my dad's Nextel chirp phone, and he had a special code for beepers. And then yet the internet was ringing when your mom was on the phone. Like, I grew up in the best time because I got to have a great childhood, but also I had access to information as I was getting older, and that's exciting too. And so, like you said, trying to think of activities, not sure how old you are, Brian, but trying to think of activities to do outside of phone and TV isn't always easy, because you go, what did I do before this? So even my son the other day, we lost the remote, and he was like, oh my gosh, like it was the end of the world. And I was like, you know, when I was growing up, like you had to, we didn't always have a remote. Like one of my TVs was the dial TVs, and it was the, you know, you had to get up and you had to change the channel yourself, or you had the rabbit ears and somebody had to stand there because if you moved, you were going to lose the signal. Like, so I was telling him that, and he goes, oh my gosh, that sounds terrible. I'm like, but it wasn't, like, it's the best days. Anyways, so what we like to do, so I love, we like playing Uno, which obsessed. We like doing board games quite a bit. We are a board game family, or cards. Right now we have, literally, I'm staring at it right now, is this huge puzzle. So we went to the store to get a puzzle, and we were looking at, you know, 300 piece ones and 500 piece ones, 1,000 piece ones. And we're like, okay, this one, we're going to pick this one. It was 1,000 pieces. Great. And we're about 3 days in, and we have just barely half the border, and I'm staring at it on my ottoman in my living room going, oh my gosh, like we might have overcommitted. But it's amazing because every night, instead of turning on a show, we're like messing with the puzzle. And you know, having those times at dinner time where you're just chatting, or you can watch a show but then turn it off, and just having the screen time stuff. Even my son, like with his video games, like he's allowed screen time for an hour and a half a day, whether that's TV screen time. Just he breaks it up in increments of like 20-30 minutes, and then he gets up and he goes and plays, you know. But finding things to do that you're not just waiting to get back on your phone, you're not waiting to turn the TV back on. So I always say invest in all the board games, all the card games, all the puzzles, all the things. Go outside for walks. I personally love to go just walk around outside, and I'm always like, oh, go on. I'll just get up and go walk around outside randomly. Just hanging out on your furniture and bringing up topics. And how was your day? What was your favorite part of your day? What are you thankful for today? What are your hopes and goals for today? Conversation's a big one. And if you don't have a lot to talk about, there are conversation topics that you can look up. I know that people are like, what do you mean looking up a topic to talk about? But really, when you're with your family so much, you do run out of things, and you don't want somebody to be consumed in their phone. So you have to find things to talk about. And that's a good place to start. So we like to do those kind of things together. Even me throughout the day, I told you guys, I love to do like TikTok. I'll mess on my phone. I have a timer on my TikTok. I'm only allowed on it for like an hour, and then my time goes off and I'm done for it. So making yourself aware of how much time you're spending on those things is an active, improvement to getting off of those things and finding other things to do. I like organizing my home, going through, picking a drawer to go through. Right now, my next task for myself is there's this drawer I have. I always print out pictures. I'm one of those. I go through the free prints app and I print out pictures to make sure I never lose them. So I have an entire massive drawer full of pictures that I need to sort and go through. And I've started that, but I haven't finished it. And it kind of is becoming like a family thing. Like my son was watching me do it, and he was like, oh my gosh, mom, is this pictures when I'm a baby and bonding moments? And I want to work on rearranging my son's room. So like finding other things, there are things directly in front of you that can be mentally stimulating for you and your family. And the other night we played like the Clue board game, Candyland. Like there are so many things that can take you back to memory lane. And also you're sharing these with your kids or your spouse, and it creates stories and it creates memory telling. that just, it creates conversation. That's what we need to get back to. More conversation with families. That's it. More conversation with families. I am a very weird person about screens in my home. I'm constantly like, screens down. Okay. Family time. Like, I refuse to let it become a lifestyle. And I think that's the most important. And I love that you're doing this. Like, I love this. And I hope that this is the most heard question on this episode, that phones are meant to bring people together, but not when they're already in front of you. You know what I mean? So pay attention to the ones who are in front of you. I have recorded this question now 3 times. 3 times, and I'll explain after I read it. Okay. First things first, I hope you are doing well and your health is treating you better. It is. I'm feeling decent. I'm okay. Thank you for asking. Second, I'm grateful you are back. You're my voice of comfort. And lastly, can you help me figure out a way to explain to my boyfriend of 2 years why I am an organized clean freak because of my anxiety control issues? He thinks it's doing more harm than good. And when he leaves his little trail of mess around, he says for me to get over it. It sounds silly, but it makes me feel disrespected and hurt. I have tried explaining or having him listen to an episode about it, but he just doesn't seem to understand. Help. I don't want this to affect my relationship anymore. Allison. Allison, I feel for you. I am the queen of clean neat freak. I like being organized. I like knowing where things are. When somebody says, do you have this? I want to say, yes, it is in this exact location. Every day I bring myself home from school drop off and I am instantly like, I have a rotation. I start in my bathroom. I clean in there. I clean my bedroom. I make my bed. I do my living room. I pick up my son's room. I pick up my kitchen, my dog's area, my patio. Like, I have a rotation of cleaning. I have a list every day of what gets deep cleaned. I am the queen of rotating cleanliness. Okay. So what I say here is made out of love. And it's made out of me understanding that clean house is clean health, and clear shots out your window, clear vision, not clear shots, clear vision out your window is clear thoughts in your mind. Like, I literally am, I understand. When I say I understand, please trust me. But here's where it gets a little dicey for you. I also understand that my need for cleanliness and for just no mess is my own. And people who don't have that, almost don't have that mental block from a clean home or whatnot, not a clean home. I don't even want to say that. Like, they don't have to be dirty people, but just like they're okay with, you know, some dirty laundry in the basket. They're okay with a couple dirty dishes in the sink. Like, when I see a dirty dish in the sink, I hand wash it. And I always have a pile of dishes next to my sink because I'm hand washing all day. And then sometimes after dinner, if they got away from me, then I do the dishwasher. But I don't like dishes in my sink at all. After I get out of my shower, I literally dry it with a towel. I dry my shower with a towel because I don't like to clean my shower of hard water stains. So I dry it really good and I shine up my silver. And so please get that I understand you. But again, my husband doesn't have this need. Neither does my son. They do their own thing. And they, you know, sometimes leave the knife they made a sandwich with on the edge of the sink. But drives me crazy. Sometimes I am picking up my husband's socks. And I do see my son's towel that he used from his shower on his bedroom floor. And I have to remember that this clean house, clean mind thing is mine. And just like my husband with his clean cars, and sometimes I leave my coffee cups in it, and he's like, why did you leave your coffee cups in my car? Like, I literally have to remember we each have our own. I'm sure there's something you do that maybe he is like, don't do that. Like, how do you not understand? Like, my husband gets on me all the time because he's like, he likes to keep his cars clean. He's like, kick off your shoes, like get the sand off of them. Or, you know, oh my gosh, why did you finger up around my door handle that I just waxed? And I'm like, oh shit. So remember that some things are not meant as disrespect, just as it doesn't always, it's not always as clear to them. And I think after a certain point in time, yes, it can feel disrespectful when you have made the point clear so many times. Like when you leave these socks on the floor, it makes me feel like you are disrespecting the hard work I do all day. And also it affects my mental health. And I feel like you don't take that serious. This is very important for me. Now, if he were to express that with his cars, for say, like, say I express this to my husband, he didn't do it. And then he told me about his cars. Like, when you don't kick off your shoes of sand when you get in my car that I spent 3 hours vacuuming and detailing, it makes me feel like all my hard work is out. You know, you can vice versa it on almost anything with men as well and women as well. So you have to almost relate it. So that way when he does leave his socks or he does leave his dishes or he does, you know, doesn't dry off your shower, you can go, hey, remember that time I got in your car and I had my coffee and you were like, what are you doing? Like, you do not bring liquids into my vehicle. Like, you have to relate it. So maybe try to find something like that. Try to find something relatable to where he understands it a little bit better. Okay. I wish you all the luck with that because I understand. And I hope that your cleaning obsession, or what'd you call it? Clean freak anxiety control. I hope that you can work on that to come from a place of good. I don't ever want, you know, when I had that episode on cleaning, you guys, I didn't want it to become something that was like that masked over things that you weren't dealing with. And that was something that if it wasn't done, like you feel physically ill. I don't want that. I don't want to contribute to that. I'm saying having a clean home can help you be able to focus clearer on what you need because you're not distracted on what has to be done. I enjoy having a clean home because I can sit at the end of cleaning after an hour of my day and go, okay, now what do I want to do and what needs to be done? And I come home to a good space and I get into a freshly made bed and my thoughts are clearer that way. But if it's not done, it's not the end of the world either. And coming to terms with that is a hard one too. That's a hard one too, though. I'm still learning that it's okay to have some mess. And I try not to clean on the weekends. Well, I do. I clean on Sunday nights to get ready for Monday. But I try not to clean when my family's home because I wanted to spend it with them. So if I'm not working or I'm not doing my millions of side jobs, I want a space that I can feel is free of thinking and of doing things and being expressive because it's done, not as something that's contributing to my sickness or mental illness. So I hope you guys can tell the difference in this. Okay. This is going to be my last one for today. We have a ton more and we'll do another part to this, but this is going to be my last one today. Okay. My husband and I have hit a communication halt. We both know a big topic needs to be discussed and we are dancing around it. How to go about tackling tough conversations, whether it is money, sex, divorce. I can't keep this anxiety with me one more day. Rosemary. I like your name. Okay. So, like I said, you know, in the beginning of the episode, I also want to add in having a safe place for conversations. Like, you never want to talk about sex right after sex or right before sex. You never want to talk about divorce in the middle of a fight. You never want to talk about money when you just went negative in the bank. Like, these are pre-spoken conversations. They have to be, or else feelings are already going to be involved, but or else it gets too involved and clear communication is just unable to be had. I mean, have you ever talked about sex, like during sex, and been like, hey, I really hate it when you do this. And then all of a sudden, like you're even more into it. No, no, you can't do that. It ruins the mood. It ruins the vibe. And when you're in a fight and you say, I want a divorce, does the other person go, wow, that's a very logical thought out topic. We should discuss that. No, like that's just not how it goes. So we talk about sex outside the bedroom. We talk about money away from the debit card. We talk about divorce outside of the fight. Like, this is just how it has to go. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what your communication topic is. It could be all three of those things. It could be one of those things. But I know you're carrying around a lot of anxiety with you, as you said. That's why I wanted to tackle this one today. So here's what we do. Whether it's all any of those, like I just said, those are to be tackled outside. And in the beginning of the episode, I spoke on losing your pride. This has to be 100% about your relationship and not always about what you feel is right and what you think he's doing wrong or she's doing wrong. It has to be both of you, and it has to be 100% in. You have to be vulnerable, and vulnerability is nothing to be taken lightly. That is a strength that a lot of people think is a weakness. That is a huge strength in a relationship, being vulnerable. I look at, you know, when Brett and I are very open and vulnerable in our communication, I look at that as in such strength, and I get pride from that. Like, that's such an incredible feeling when we can be openly relating to each other about what needs to be done financially, what we need to do in our relationship to improve it, what we need to do in our sex life, what one or the other wants. And sometimes those things can feel like you're sensitive, you're nervous, don't judge me, but you're with your safest person, I promise you that. And you found safety in them at some point. So I'm not sure if you still have that, of course. I'm not sure what this topic is about. Again, whatever the topic is, do it away and as far away from the topic as possible. Do it in a casual drive. Do it, you know, when one of you has just, you know, after you've just eaten dinner, when you guys are just hanging out, chatting, do it in a safe place that you guys are both 100% attentive to each other. It has to be a safe space. So try to focus on that. And you say it's a big topic that needs to be discussed, but you're dancing around. So maybe I would just say to him or her and just be like, hey, we need to have a conversation, and I don't want this to be anxiety ridden. I don't want you to think about this all day, but let's try to pick a spot we can do this and just both take care of it. Let's just have the conversation. And usually the other person is going to be like, yeah, let's do it. And if they're like, oh no, that's not for me, I think you have your answer either way. So, okay. I hope that helps. Are you looking for a new, easier way to have coffee every day? Welcome to Javi Coffee, your new coffee regimen. No more massive, single plastic waste with K-cups, time-consuming, tedious, messy, overpriced, underserved, underpaid farmers. Javi is here to rebuild the environment, reduce plastic waste. It's super fast, easy, and convenient. Affordable, higher pay and education for sustainable packaging, ethically sourced, gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, and eco-friendly. Enjoy Javi coffee hot or cold. Delicious coffee in literally seconds. Use code Sarah, S-A-R-A, 43934 for 15% off. Go try Javi coffee today. You will not regret it. All right, as we're coming to the end of this episode, you know, these are all conversations that need to be had. We need to discuss, you know, triggers in life and how to best, you know, deal with them together as a team, and what our hopes and goals are in our relationship, and what do we think it can be, what can be done or said to make it the most successful. What do you think makes your relationship successful together? You know, don't only focus on faults. You have to focus on the strengths in your relationship, because there are so many more than what you think. I just really wanted to discuss that, and just remember to breathe. Remember to breathe. Reading through some of these questions, seeing how much of a toll relationships are taking on people's health and anxiety or depression, it really all comes from lack of communication or lack of listening, really. Being honest and being open, and what works, what doesn't work, even down to your relationship. Is this working? Is this where we're supposed to be? Are we forcing two puzzle pieces that don't go together? Because, hey, I've been there this past week, this 1,000-piece puzzle. I've thought a lot of pieces have gone together. okay, so anyways, there will be a part two to this. I'm going to get the rest of these questions together and we're going to do this again. Please be sure to answer the question that I'm going to post with this episode, as we are going to be doing some more fun Q&As here soon. And speaking of sexual desires and spicing up sex life and hacks for maintaining a healthy sex life after in a long-term relationship, this will be a very exciting next couple of weeks. You guys have written in such amazing questions and topics that are so relatable that sometimes I forget that they still need to be addressed. So continue loving yourself completely and continue knowing that everything you're going through is what every couple goes through. It's how you overcome it and how you talk about it and the things that go into being a good spouse and being a good partner, a good teammate, and communicating in a healthy way. So, all right, you guys, we'll talk to you next week. Send in your answers to my questions and send in your questions to be answered at lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Be sure to leave a rating and review and go follow our new Instagram page. I love you guys and I'll see you next week. Bye.